Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callen, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. As president here at Prosperity Financial Group at San Ramon, we work with individuals and corporate CEOs and trustees to build portfolios as well as 401ks. And so our goal today is not the individual portfolio, but it's in a 401k world, the business world. And we're very honored today to have Trey Banton on, who's a regional VP of Transamerica. You can see him in the background here. He's got a beautiful logo with the pyramid building. He's got 26 years of industry experience. He's the retirement plan consultant with them. Basically, if you need a retirement plan and Transamerica is going to be involved, he's the guy. And so I've known Trey for most of that 20 years that he's been with Transamerica, and I consider Trey a good friend of mine as well. So welcome, Trey.
Great. Thank you very much for inviting me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk a little bit about a 401k, how that works, why it's good. We are fiduciary advisors. What does that mean? Things like that. Why should a company want a fiduciary advisor? But let me ask you just in very general terms.
Yeah.
What makes a 401k great?
That is a great question. And it depends on who you ask. So if you look at some plan sponsors, they're looking for cost-effective plans only. So give me the lowest cost and I'll be happy. The other ones say, hey, I want a diversified investment portfolio that has outside investments, including, you know, self-directed brokerage accounts and ESGs and specialty funds. Others are saying, hey, I want to be more tax efficient because I have a lot of tax burdens this year. What can I do? You know, others are focused on their employees and they want to make sure that they can actually have the employees benefit in retirement the same way they benefit now. So after 26 years, you realize it's a combination of all those different things. And for a plan sponsor to actually have a good experience and a successful plan, what it takes is having a good financial advisor who understands the different aspects, the rules, and how to play with those rules.
Great. And so you know, Trey, that we are fiduciary advisors, plan fiduciaries, lots of terms out there. We are both 321 and 338 fiduciaries, if we want to get into swamp a little bit and be wonky.
Sure.
Basically, we're fiduciaries. What does that mean to a client? Why should they even care?
Yeah, it's good to throw out some numbers just to make sure people are confused. 338 is just so people know is an investment fiduciary that selects and deselects investment options for employees. The 321 says these are the options that are available. Let's base our decisions based on what your goals are. So simply put, for a fiduciary advisor, from my perspective, is that you're providing guidance and protection to the plan sponsor. You're providing guidance on the plan design, customizing the plan design to meet the needs of the plan sponsor. The plan sponsor is a plan fiduciary along with your firm. So the idea is that your firm, along with the plan sponsor, will make sure the plan stays in compliance now and make sure it meets all the goals the plan sponsor has. In terms of other things, which you're looking at on the investment side is making sure the employees meet or the plan meets all the 404C requirements to make sure the plan is monitoring, selecting, and deselecting funds based on the goal of the IPS, the investment policy statement. And lastly, looking at the pricing. You know, part of plans is pricing, but the key is to make sure the plan has pricing that's appropriate for where they are in the market space and staying competitive with their peer groups.
I feel sometimes, Trey, like our job is to hold Transamerica feet to the fire to make sure that you're always on top of your game. So the client's getting the best deal out there with the best service.
Without a doubt. And you've done that to me more than once or twice.
Well, you know, friendship is friendship and business is business. And our loyalty has always got to be to the client no matter what. And right. And it is.
Well, and it's important for us to actually maintain clients. The longer the relationships we have, the stronger they become and the more profitable they come to Transamerica. You know, typically in a plan, you're looking at 5 to 7 years to break even. So what we're trying to do is make sure we can maintain those clients. So if you're giving us feedback about what needs to happen to make sure that relationship stays strong, we're always going to listen to you.
Great. So we work with the trustees and administrators. Sometimes the trustee is not the owner of the company, not even a CFO. It could be the person in charge of the plan, the HR manager. And it could also be the CFO. And it could also be the owner of the company, but who's uninvolved with the plan by itself. Because he's got the plan or she's got the plan for everybody in the company, but not them. They don't need it. But they have to review it legally. And we always recommend once a year to do a live meeting or Zoom now in a world that we live in. And you don't want to miss that because there are changes that are good to make. whether it be investments or auto enrollment. But for you and your recommendation, what are the key elements when we do these annual reviews with trustees and administrators?
Yeah, good question. So when you're looking at a plan review, you want to break it down. So number one for me is employee engagement. You know, do your employees see, understand, and appreciate what you're giving to them? And it comes down to two different sides. Number one is participation rate. You know, how is the participation rate in your plan? You know, are you participating at a level that makes sense? You know, if you're a plan sponsor and you're getting less than 70% participation, that typically means your employees do not understand what they actually have as a benefit and how to actually use that benefit to their advantage. And then number two is looking at the deferral rates. So you and I both know the industry says you need about 10% deferrals on average to be able to maintain your current standard of living. If your deferral rates are lower, that's fine. But the key is we need to get out there and educate the employees and show them how to increase those contributions over time so they can maintain their current standard of living. Number two is plan design. There are lots of law changes. Last year, as you know, we had the Secure Act, we had the CARES Act. There are things in both those provisions that actually benefit the plan sponsor. So every year you want to say, hey, what has changed from a congressional point of view that could positively impact the plan itself and the plan sponsors? You and I both know this isn't just for the highly paid employees, even though they tend to have the greatest contributions, but it's also for the rest of the employees and how can they benefit from this program as a whole? And then lastly, is your plan efficient? There's a lot of investments in our plans and how the plans are working. You know, so are you using outsourcing, for example? Are they using auto loans and distributions? Are they looking at auto increases? You know, are they dealing with communications and distributions and things of that nature to make sure this plan is being as efficient as possible for that plan sponsor? So we don't want them spending all their time managing these plans. We want to have it done for them.
Okay, so we know that there's plan turnover in the industry. Mm-hmm. And as a firm, we thrive with plan turnover because we get the best plan for the employees and for the participants and for the employer. And we also get the best plan out there in a competitive world because it's a competitive world out there.
Right.
So how often should trustees and administrators be shopping Transamerica, shopping anybody else out there, looking to find a company like Transamerica, looking to make sure Transamerica is doing their job? What's a good, prudent way of doing it?
So the question comes down to what is the industry standard? And the industry standard is actually benchmarking this plan every 3 years. So I'm not saying you need to make a change. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the plan, but you want to be able to document that the plan was put out to bid so you can look at the plan, the provisions, the pricing, the features, and making sure that plan sponsor has everything they need to make good decisions. And if nothing else, you want to make sure the plan has documentation in case an auditor ever comes in and says, hey, what did you do? And can you prove it? You and I have come across plans that are 5, 10, 15 years old. And because there's been so much downward pressure over the last 5 to 6 years, you're seeing a lot of plans that are mispriced, not so much because they were mispriced in the beginning, but because things have become more efficient and the plan has grown. You just want to make sure you have that right mix for plan sponsors.
So which leads us to the fee question. Uh-huh. Because everybody's interested in lowering the price. I don't care whether you're buying tires at a tire store or oil or widgets, you're looking to get a lower cost. Well, there has been, since I've been doing this now for coming into 29 years, there has been a race to the bottom on fees. There's a lot of pressure. Your competitors are putting it on you. My competitors are putting it on me. The internet is putting pressure on all of us to lower fees, to be more transparent. And fees, there are lots of different ways of measuring fees and measuring success. So how important should the fees be to the client?
So that's an interesting question also. So fees are actually lower than they've been ever since I've been in this business. And that's because of all the downward pressure. So it's not so much the fees being competitive. A lot of these fees on these plans we're competing with now are going to be competitive. But what you as an advisor need to do is be able to explain what those fees are, because they're actually broken down into different categories. So you have investment fees, and everyone's saying, hey, I want the lowest possible investments. Well, if you want the lowest possible investments, you're going to go with index-based funds, and your portfolio is going to run 7 to 10 basis points. Other people are saying, hey, we want to get some alpha. There's volatility in this market. You know, let's have actively managed funds. And those funds will run anywhere from 30 to 50 basis points. So I think you and I are in agreement that you need to have a balance between active and passive. So from a fund portfolio point of view, you're looking at about 30 basis points on average for a portfolio on a linear basis. And that's a big change from, say, 6 years ago. So 2015, all these funds had 12b1 fees built into them. All those fees have now been stripped out, and everybody has their own category. So investments are only one fee. Record keeping fees are a separate fee. So different companies look at different ways of pricing plans. A lot of companies look at the average account balance of the portfolio of the plan as a whole, and they price it based on that. Others look at flow to assets. So you want to look at the different provider and say, hey, what's the best fit for your wheelhouse? And having people like yourself go in there and saying, hey, this is my role as a financial advisor. I have advisor compensation as a third portion of the fee structure. So there's a lot of advisors out there that will do pretty much just the bare bones. No, so is your advisor picking out funds and selecting providers, or are they actually going through and actually being a plan fiduciary? So the range of where the fees are going to lie for the advisor point of view are going to vary. But the idea is that you need to make sure you're getting what you're paying for and understand what that actually means to you. So again, three levels: investment-based fees for the mutual fund companies, the record-keeping fees for people like Transamerica, and then the advisor fees for compensation. Those are the three combined fees.
Okay. So you've been around a long time, and so you've experienced people that are bringing plans to potential clients and current clients. You've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. Our industry has the good, the bad, the ugly, like most industries do. We have the honest and occasionally the not so honest. We have the smiley and the depressed. We have a whole group. So in your opinion, what makes for a great advisor, your 401k advisor?
So a great advisor comes down to what their role is. And from my perspective, a great advisor is basically the guardrails for a company's retirement program. So they're the checks and balances between the providers, between the investment companies, and the plan administrators. So part of your role as a fiduciary advisor is going through and making sure the plan sponsor has the best of all worlds. So part of that is going through, as we said earlier, and benchmarking. You know, how do you know you have the best of all worlds if you as the advisor is not going out there and researching the different companies that are available to your clients? So that way you know what the industry offers and what the plan sponsor can need to solve what their challenges are.
Okay, just two more quick questions, Trey. I really appreciate you being part of this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
One main question here. You know, we do annual meetings for trustees. We do annual meetings for employees, education. We recommend that. They can be via Zoom nowadays. They can be recorded and shared with employees. What do you recommend, and how often should trustees be reviewing the plan, and how often should participants be exposed to some type of participant education?
Sure. So in terms of plan sponsor should be reviewing the plan on a regular basis, as we talked about. Now, you want to look at it at least once a year when it comes to the actual overall plan review and health. When it comes to the investments, it's usually twice a year. You know, how are things going? You know, do these funds make sense? You know, are they doing what they're supposed to do? From an employee point of view, it's a little bit different. So the requirement for a plan sponsor to their employees is they need to offer education meetings at least once a year. Now, once a year doesn't really accomplish the goals of what we're trying to get to. So what you want to look at is our new environment. Our new environment is basically Zoom, it's Teams, it's you know, WebEx. So in this current environment, we can actually go through and do basically meetings for employees on a regular basis, live or pre-recorded. You know, the idea is that you want to make this a tangible benefit for the plan sponsor and for their participants so they truly understand what's going on with their program. Now, from a Transamerica point of view, we're taking it one step further. So we're doing the virtual meetings, we're doing the live meetings, but we're also incorporating a push education system. And what that does is actually customize communications to each employee. So as long as we have their email addresses, we can educate employees based on where they're at. So Elliott Callan's currently putting in 3% per year. The plan sponsor's matching up to 6%. You know, what would it mean to the employee to actually have a greater contribution? Or maybe I'm 26 years old and I haven't started participating yet. You know, what are the advantages of starting early? So we're trying to look at different groups of employees, look at where they're at, you know, look at their life cycle and try to push the communication out towards them. So it's more in their interest wheelhouse. So they really can enjoy what the program's offering to them.
Great. And then, Trey, final question, because I owe that to you, my guest, is why Transamerica?
So there's a lot of things out there when it comes to investments, for example, that are just table stakes. You know, so the question is, what are we doing differently to try to make things better for plan sponsors? Number one, I would say our pricing philosophy is different. So most plans price on average account balances. The larger the average account balance, the better the pricing is going to be. What we're trying to do is generate participation in the plan. So what we're looking at is potential flow to assets, not actual. So for example, you have a plan right now with 65% participation. Now, we know that we go out there and do education meetings, we're going to average about a 17% increase in participation. So we're basing our pricing based on those flows to assets, not based on just average account balances, which in general goes against the philosophy for most companies. But what it's going to do is actually bring down the average account balance per employee if we're successful. So that's number one. Number two is past services. So we're trying to make things easier. We're trying to streamline everything. So when it comes to past services, it's called payroll, administrative, and service support. And what we're doing is basically outsourcing a majority of the day-to-day administration. And we can outsource about 80, 85%. So communications, loans, distributions, employee tracking, employee vesting, all that can be done through our system. And we can actually bless those things on behalf of the plan sponsor. Another thing that's unique is that we have probably one of the strongest payroll integration programs out there. It's called PayStart. Currently, we have probably a relationship with over 100 different companies. And we have a 360 relationship with about 36 different companies. So whether it be Paylocity, whether it be Paycor, whether it be ADP, Paychex, all those companies actually bought into our system and are using us to actually do the integration with their companies. And then lastly, you want a company that's committed to this space. There's about 15 major providers in our space right now. There's going to be a lot more consolidation. They'll probably be down to maybe 8 or 9 over the next 5 years. So our parent company, Aegon, who's probably the largest, third largest provider of retirement plans in the world, knows that Transamerica is a growth center for them. So they're actually going to invest over $300 million over the next 5 years to make sure we stay ahead of the curve for where the market's going to go. And you need that investment long-term to make sure you stay competitive.
Great. Well, we've been talking with Trey Banton, Regional Vice President with Transamerica Retirement Group. And he's got 26 years of industry experience, so he's certainly an expert in the industry. Trey, I want to thank you for being part of today.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
And if you've got questions about your 401k and you want to see what's right is right and make sure you're competitive in a marketplace with the best plan, the best product, the best prices, give us a call at Prosperity Financial Group. Have a great day, everybody.